Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here.
As I release this into the world, I'm sitting back in chilly Perth again. This was recorded during a recent Haidinga very quick trip to Aotearoa with Beck Smith, who is an Akotoro Whanui graduate and recently completed her 400 hours, which is a huge achievement. Her story has always been really inspiring to me. The beautiful thing about this episode is how understated Bex was about her experience and her school wisdom as well. The key thing I took from this was the idea that something can always be flipped. It's quite common after a mirimiri or a rumirumi for lots of different things to come up. I've definitely had that over the last few days since we had a practitioner day on the weekend. I was lucky enough to receive a session. And it's been such a beautiful reminder that when things come up, they're just coming up to say goodbye. It's not that we've gone backwards. There's no need to freak out, just honor what we have gone through before and release, bless and release, and allow ourselves to live in peace. So I'm so grateful for her for that message. It certainly helped me these last few days.
We have the Kopuhuru coming up on the 11th and 12th of October in Borloo, Perth, which if you have done any bodywork or massage training before and you feel the pull, please reach out. Other than that, please enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm sitting in Aotearoa with a dear sister, Beck Smith, from Wairua It's a Journey, looking out at this fabulous view in Tauranga.
Absolutely.
So thank you, sister, for making the time to see me and sharing your story. How would you describe your journey into the mahi that you're doing at the moment? Whatever's sitting with you now.
I didn't think that I would be doing this mahi, but here I am. It's good to be able to give back when you know that it helped you. I would say that I am a healing solo mother of three kids and just trying to put my best self forward for my kids. And I think I more did it for my kids. That's probably why I stepped more into it, because it helped me shift what I needed to from my kids. I was getting mahi done on myself for ages, and then one of my friends was like, oh, you should just go down to the Wananga. And I was like, oh yeah, you come with me, and just try to make everybody come with me, and ended up going down by myself. And I don't know why I was so scared, because it wasn't anything to be scared of, really. At the moment, I am doing mirimiri and rumirumi, and I've brought in a bit of breath work just from what I've learnt. It's definitely been the first thing that I've ever completed, like my first ever certificates, which is pretty nuts, but not, because I'm like, it makes sense why I didn't complete anything else, because it's not where I was meant to be. And just being able to do it more to help others, because I know that it's probably what got me where I needed to be. So I feel like even with you being here today, like I was like, just a big month, you know, 2 years being clean and then finishing this course and all of those things, and then you being here. So it was cool that it was you coming to do that too.
Thank you. Could you share about some of where you've come from and your journey into healing as a whole?
So I took to all the wrong things, abused alcohol, drugs. We had heaps of stuff happen with me and the kids. Family stuff, then leaving the kids' dad, moving countries, and then got to the point where I wasn't sure. I knew that I couldn't keep going that way, but what way was I going? It was just hard trying to do normal life, like anything. I wasn't doing, you know, school lunches type stuff. So I noticed once I started getting sessions, each session it was like the kids were like, you haven't made us breakfast in month. And then for some reason a midi popped up locally, and I went there and then noticed after each session it was sort of like I was craving that as the drug. It wasn't the other stuff that I was abusing more and more of. I noticed once I stepped in and started getting healings, the other stuff was starting to slowly disappear. And then I'd find it creep back in and I'm like, oh, I haven't been for ages. So I did see patterns changing of me going back to and then going forward again.
What would you say to your younger self, like if you could talk back to her now when she was starting that healing journey?
Well, mine only started 2 years ago. Looking at her, she was just ready to give up. She was definitely ready to give up. And that's why I always say to everybody when they come for a session, don't be scared of her, because you're going to look back at her and she's actually stronger than the person I am today, I say. I was literally running away from everything possible. So every weekend I was never home. I always say that person that went for the first time, she's stronger than me. Because like I could have just sat with nothing still to this day. So she made that change. So I don't look back and think that it was heavy, you know, or she was failing. I'm like, nah, she stepped up and she took that on. And she, like, looking at her eyes, like, I wasn't there. She definitely wasn't there. And she was just like, well, what else have I got to lose? You've got to try something different. And I never ever thought that it was actually going to make that much of an impact, to be honest. I didn't really know too much about it. And it just stumbled on me. Nobody told me to go do that work. It literally got shoved in my face pretty much on my phone. It was like, bing. And I was like, oh, what's this? There was no way I'd sit at home on the weekend. There was no way. I was even drinking during the week. And then it got to the point where I started to notice that boundaries started coming in. And I was like, no, we're not drinking unless it's Friday or Saturday. So then I was chucking these random boundaries in. Then I've noticed that now I can sit at home all weekend and I'm literally not fazed if I don't go out, which is massive, because I literally would sit there on a Friday dressed ready to go anywhere, didn't care if I had anyone to go with, I was going by myself. So for me to sit at home now with the kids and we're just chilling, doing nothing, is pretty massive. It's probably the biggest thing I could take away from it. I just didn't want to sit still, because sitting still I had to listen to all the thoughts in the head, and I didn't want to do any of that. Definitely not.
Was there a part of you that didn't think it was possible or did think it was possible?
I was confused. All I could take away from it is every time I left, I felt lighter. I felt like I wasn't so heavy. I wasn't struggling with life in general. So every time I had a session, I was coming away pretty drained. So then I started to get into motion of planning and what are we going to do? You know, okay, the kids need me more, or something bad's happened, but what am I going to do with it? So everything, I just started flipping every time. Like even if it was a traffic fine, and I was, okay, well, clearly I wasn't meant to be going on that route today and he stopped me. So we've been thankful for a speeding ticket of all things. But I just had to start flipping everything, because everything was coming through real negative. And if you take on that negative, you're not going to heal. I think it's just not possible. So my definite thing for that was I had to flip everything. And I still do it. It's the only way I can go back down into a dark hole is probably my scariest thing for me. Something so little, you could be going real smooth. And then all of a sudden you get thrown a curveball, and then I'm like, fuck, we're back here again, you know? So why are we back here again? I didn't learn something. I didn't listen. Do you know what I mean? So I think this sort of work has just start listening and looking more. Just not being so blind, I think, is probably a big one for me. And I was like, what the fuck? So, you know, it was just, and that was after my third session. So the kids started noticing different stuff changing. I definitely did. Oh, and then you slowly see it creep back in, and then you're like, whoa, 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 we're not going back down that path again. Why are we back down there again? And then realizing, oh, I haven't had a session for like 2 or 3 months. Yeah, okay. That was what I found for me, is I had to be pretty regular to be strong enough to kick all the habits to go with it as well. Because you think you're going to have one healing a year is going to help. It's really not. You're literally just starting to open up. And we've got thousands of layers to go. Like so many. So I definitely trust the universe and where I'm going with it. I midi-midi myself quite a lot. So I feel like helps me shift stuff myself. I've really tapped into my own body. That's probably a big one. Because me travelling to go have a session, it's quite hard because then you've got to drive back and it's a bit much as well. And I'm like, I need a midi-midi. And I'm not talking like a little one, like I'm ready for the whole one.
Some people feel there's a point of, there's that healing, it's done. And yeah, then that's it. It isn't that.
Nah. So at first I was going every 2 weeks. And then I was lucky for Ani to start stepping in. And then she was like, oh, I need somebody to practice on. And so I was going like twice a week with her for a little bit. But it's definitely needed. People always say to me, oh, how often do you suggest that I come? And I'm like, I can't say that for you. You've got to work that out. Like you've got to tap into your body and work out, is it weekly you're needing or is it fortnightly? Or you might be okay with once a month. For me, it was starting the mahi, then it was like, oh, you know, then something would come up for me and then I'm like, oh, I haven't had one for ages, I need to go do that too. Because we obviously go through their journey too. I think it gets quite heavy on us as well, without us even knowing it. And then all of a sudden we're just like, oh.
Do you mean your clients' journeys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing them change as well, and, you know, that's massive for me. And they exchange what they've let go of and stuff like that's like quite heavy for everybody. So, you know, I think you have to keep up your own maintenance. It's almost like the gym. I said it. I'm not a gym person every day, but if you're a gym person every day, you're a gym person every day. So this kind of mahi is honestly what I think your body's going to tell you. It's not a prescription. Your body will say when you need it another one. And maybe just don't wait too long. Because the big one, I think I'd wait till I'm like real dark and then I'm like, oh, okay.
I love how you shared that. There was points where I would be going heaps and heaps and heaps, and then other points where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good. So then I'm like, oh no, definitely need a book in. I'm curious about, I don't know how to phrase it, but you can go wherever you want with it. But some of the messages that you want to give to your clients about how you work, or the messages that sometimes we don't have that time to be sitting with someone for an hour and being like, here's what I want you to know. What would that message be?
Okay, that message would definitely be, I can't take you anywhere that you're not ready to go. That's probably my biggest thing I always say. I can't control the head. I can help shift and I can see stuff. I know that for a fact and I can feel it. But I can't also make you go where you're not ready to go. So I always say whatever does come, you have to flip it. It's my biggest thing. I say that over and over to all my clients. You have to flip it. Don't look at it as it's come back to haunt you or relive it. If it does ping on the table, let it go. Say goodbye to it. That's my biggest thing I think I always say to them is, it's not there to come back and make you go back into an ugly place. It's saying that it's time to leave or take the positive away from whatever pings. Just let your body be as free as possible and do not lock up on the table. That is my big thing, is literally if you're wanting to cough, if your body wants to move, I'm like, go with all of it. I will follow you. Because I think in my first few sessions, I wasn't told that part. So I locked up and wouldn't move. And then I was asleep. So I clearly needed to do that part. But then once I started staying awake, I was like, oh my God, my foot wants to shake. Why does my foot want to shake? So then my head was getting twisted on stuff like that. So I always say to them, like, whatever the body wants to do, do it. Whatever the mind is taking you to, just go with all of it. But don't be scared of it. It's probably the biggest for me.
Sometimes people can think that we step into this role of like being a kairomiromiro, kai mini mini, and then when we don't go through shit. What would you say to that?
For me, I was like, okay, I'm doing all these beautiful wahine that come to me and I always give them a little message the night before. I'm like, don't be scared, you'll be fine. And if they freak out before. And then yesterday I was like, oh my God, I'm getting one tomorrow. Oh my God, I'm going to freak out. So I think that's where we are still going through our journey too. No one's ever fully healed, I don't think. So for me, it's like I'm open for whatever comes. Like I'm definitely there for all of that. You do still have the nerves, woke up with a sore throat, got all those things. And it's that's I feel the body just saying if you're going to tap out or you're going to push yourself to go through. So I'm like, nah, I know it's not anything sick-wise. It's just literally trying to test me. The nerves definitely still come. It's not as scary nerves no more. Like in the beginning, like when I first started, it was, I didn't know what I was in for. But now all I know, whatever comes on the table is there not to relive. It's to let go of and be proud that that part's come to let go. Like don't think you're going to go reset any of those bad thoughts or whatever. Like it's not, I don't think that the mahi's for that. That's the only way I got to where I was anyway, was flipping it every time. I was like, well, why did it come up? What do I need to change? So yeah, I think that that's probably a big one that I like to tell everyone before we start. And we can't make you go anywhere that you're not ready to go. You got to be ready to do all that part. And we're just here to help hold that space and guide you.
Thank you. I love that. Mm. I think people always get a surprise for me as well if I'm getting a session and they're like, why are you nervous? Because the energies do start somehow knocking on your door. Or I'm even thinking that the number of times of what I hear that people have navigated before coming, even though it was like this really beautiful thing for them, there is almost like a choice point or something.
We like almost assume what's going to come to the table. And as soon as you start doing that, it's never a good session. I feel just go in and give it to me. Whatever's coming today is what we needed to hear. And to move forward, you've got to go see yourself and sit with yourself. Like we don't have time to sit with ourselves no more. And even just in families in general, just having normal conversations, this is time that we actually get to just do us. Like you really do yourself. Hey, you don't, I don't think anywhere else you get to do, you can do it at the beach, but it's just, you know what I mean? It's, I feel like this mahi takes you deeper to definitely where you needed to go. And it's always safe. Hey, it's always a safe place, always. And I just, yeah, I've always flipped mine. That was the best way I could look at, because if you looked at it as bad stuff coming up every time, I just think you're not going to end up getting anywhere, reliving and trying to sit back down there again. Like, I had to flip it. It was the only way.
Can you say more on the flipping for someone who's like sitting on that point of maybe some stuff's coming up if they're receiving sessions and they don't know how to do that?
For me, there was, when I was on the table once, I got images of my two daughters in different rooms crying, and I was just like, what the hell? What's that for? And then I was like, you haven't really been present. You know, you've been present enough is what you need, but they need you now. So for me, when I got home, it was flipping it. And I was like, right, I literally need to spend so much more time with my kids. So it was taking my little one out of her room. No, you're sleeping with me. And she ended up staying in there for months. But do you know what I mean? So it was, I had to look at it as not I was being a bad mum. It was, what are you going to do now? They're calling for you. That was how I looked at it.
I've literally got my hands on my heart because it feels so beautiful. It's such a good description. And how would you describe Urumirumi Mirimiri to those who don't know it or are curious? I've been like circling.
So I feel like the Mirimiri for me to describe is it's gentle and feminine. For me, I've had other healings and everything was just feeling like it was surfacing. So Mirimiri for me, the hands-on was what was needed because I buried it so deep. And then obviously Mirimiri is gentle, so when we do got that heavier stuff, that's where Rumirumi comes in and goes in with the punch and then brings it right out. The only time I always say this too, the only time that it actually hurts is when you're trying to fight it. So when the elbow's going in and you're like, because you're not letting us go in to go grab it. That's how I always say it. I'm like, if you fight the arm or you fight the elbow, wherever it's going, just try and take that breath and just let it come out and you will feel a massive difference. Like, it just gets deeper. Mirimiri and Urumirumi is way deeper than any other healings I've had because I feel like everything was just scraping the top and we all bury everything so deep that it's like, well, that's just not going to get you out.
I love that description. There's different levels of pain.
Yeah.
So there's a pain, which is sometimes as a practitioner, we do go in the wrong spot, or you know, we have gone off. But also sometimes the pain, if you really tapped into your body, you're not actually feeling pain. It's just like the body's reacting in pain and it's saying pain, but there's no pain. And we can sort of hear, not every time, because we're not perfect or we don't always know what your sounds are, but we can hear when it is more of a wider emotional or a non-sovereign energy type of release.
Yeah.
We can hear the different sounds and textures of that. So, yeah, I think sometimes that's where the head can get in a little bit.
Yeah. The head, you've got to try and keep that clear, and just the breathing is just massive. The more you breathe with it, it just comes out. It's allowed to come out. Like, don't be scared for it to come out. I remember I was like, never cried. And then we went to the Wānanga. And then I had you guys all working on me. And I was like, who made me cry? So that needed to happen, though. Like, all of it. And I think that comes with being the silent crier. And we used to hide and cry. So putting yourself on the table and crying in front of people that you don't know, that's huge as well. So that's the scary part, I found. For me to be so open and safe with so many people in the room, for me to then do a proper release, that was like my first one ever. That was massive. And I felt way more powerful because I didn't have to hide, because we all do. Everyone hides and cries. I never used to think my kids should see me cry, but they see all of it now. They know all of it. And it's made them more open to their stuff too now. So, yeah, this mahi goes beyond you. It flows to your kids. It flows to your parents, your sisters. Like, everyone will ask questions on it, but I think that thing that came up for me was the first wānanga, and it was putting the good energy on someone and the bad energy. And then it was like, oh my God, I've been like doing this with my daughter. Trying to make, you need to start healing, you need to get on the table. And then I was like, oh my God, I was literally doing that to her. So it took me back to, I tell people what I do and then I'm like, I don't talk about it any more than that unless they bring it up, because I don't want it to feel like that kind of mahi, because it's not. Then eventually they start coming to you and asking the random questions like, what actually happens? Or because you don't bang it on their head with it. I think that's probably why there's so much vision on healing too, because it's not a forceful energy, so it's not something that's just broadcasted everywhere.
I love that. I've got two different tracks in my brain now. What's sitting there first to ask is around being a mum and holding this mahi.
So I noticed that when I do have the clients in that hair, they all come out. And then they look at my kids and they're like, your mum. And they're just like, oh, yeah. And at first it was like, didn't really understand it. And then like they'd come out and we'd be sitting out here talking or something. And then they're like, oh, your mum's so lovely. And then she's like, yeah, she knows exactly what she's doing. So seeing them shift from the, oh, not really sure if she's actually whatever she's doing in there is working, to them coming back and constantly coming back and then them jumping on the table. So, yeah, it's weird. Even though that they've got me free of charge whenever they want, it's like they have to also see the trust and from other people that they don't even know that, you know, it does work. So I think it's like a hidden little gem, eh? It doesn't get broadcasted too much, but I love that too, because I'm like, it finds you, like this work definitely finds you when you need it most, I think, which is cool. And now that the kids are all jumping in and they're like, oh yeah, I want a meeting next week, I want one this week, and so I'm like, I just think that they don't have to be 40 years old and they got to start their healing journey. Like, got a 12, 16 and 19 year old that are doing this work, and I'm so glad that I actually did it for me, but for them, because they don't need to hold, we don't need to hold stuff like that anymore. And that's all this work is really about, is letting stuff go and just being free from shit that we don't need to carry anymore. It's probably the biggest one I think I've taken away from it.
And that piece of not rushing their journey or their pace as well that you learned was like pivotal in that way.
Yeah. And for me to learn that as the very first exercise, I loved that. I tell so many people about that as well. Like, they're like, oh, well, why aren't your cousins or why isn't this one doing it? And I'm like, because it's just not that kind of work. I don't even like to advertise because I feel like it's not a good way of doing it. But then a lot of people just don't know what it is. So it's trying to do your advertising for people to come, like to find you, like how I found my people. So we have to ping out there a little bit, but it's just how we
put and it out there. Resonance with the pinging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel great that you're doing this then. The other piece was about being in a group and crying. I think that's such a really beautiful thing to bring in around. There is, even though no one is really like seeing you, you describe that and I remember it, but that's not something that's like a core memory of mine that I'm like, oh, Bex was crying.
Yeah.
But there is an aspect of being in Wānanga, and if we choose to step into those invitations to heal, we are seen, and then that is healing, and then that allows us to be seen in the ways we want to be seen, not in the ways we're projecting to be seen. So I really love that you brought that piece in as well.
That's a good one. And like both Wānangas, I had big ones. So like I had only sort of just started doing group work, I think, after I went to the first Wānanga, and I was laying there and I was like, to the sis, I was like, I can't do this. Like I said, I literally can't lay here and listen to her scream like that and not go and hug her. She's like, but it's not yours. And I was like, I know it's not mine, but I don't like to hear people cry like that, being not held. Or she's like, this is why you're doing group work now, because you've got to learn that you're in there to do your part on you, not worry about their parts. Everyone's going to have a part. So yeah, the group work was hard, but it was definitely needed too, because everybody that goes to Wānangas is not there to judge. And I think that's what I took away from the first one. I was so scared to even go there, but then walked away feeling like I knew everyone for years. Like, it was weird. I was like, oh my God, I got a connection with yous all straight away. So I think as much as the head wants to say that you're scared and don't step in or whatever, you just got to remember that everybody that's going to the same venue is having those thoughts. So it's not like you're alone on that part. Because, yeah, I nearly tapped out of that so many times. Even going to Christchurch, I nearly tapped out, but nah, you got to go. I call that like the demon side trying to take me back down. So if I get a ping to go somewhere and I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not ready for that. And then I'm like, oh, who said I'm not ready? So I always play that game with my head too. I'm like, oh, no, they're just trying to take me back down. Just go. Like, if it's no good, it's no good. But if you don't go, you're not going to know. So, yeah, if you do get pings for Wānangas, it's definitely just go. You're going to get the thoughts, all of it anyway. So you just go. You just go.
Yeah. And even I was saying to you before, I'm in Aotearoa before heading to Rarotonga for a Wānanga, and I'm feeling nervous, you know, that it's sitting with me. Yeah, you just don't know what will come up. And even when you're like space holding or assisting, I'm assisting there, and you're still in that wairua or that energy, so things are going to come up. You're going to have to face different edges and still be invited to your 10% and stand in your truths and all these things. And that's scary. There's a part of us that doesn't want to grow.
Yeah.
It don't want to.
I think it's always, I don't know if I want to see that part. And that's what I always get. I'm like, do I want to see that part? And I'm like, what part? So that's another thing. What part am I actually hiding from? Because when we say that we're scared to step in, I'm like, there's not something that's actually pinging for me that I'm scared of. So it's just the unknown of you just not sure what's coming. And I don't get a sick gut off it anymore where I used to. Like, the gut is definitely settled, and when I know that that's settled, I'm just like, I'm fine. Like, it's meant to be. Whatever it is gonna come. But yeah, I think it's because it's the unknown, eh? And seeing whatever part of us it was that we didn't like, but I'm like, it's allowed. I always welcome those parts, because that's how you're gonna grow, definitely. Because the rest, we're just going to sit in the same spot and carry the same stuff that we don't want anyway.
Because, well, there's a part that, you know, in everyday life, even though we do this mahi and we do create space, there's something about wanting where everyone's purpose is to heal and shift and grow. And that's sort of like powerful in a group, I think, where everyone's like, we want to move from there to here. And whatever there to here means for each of us, rather than we're trying to do that and other people around us aren't in our everyday or whatever. There's something powerful about making the time for that intention as well.
Absolutely. It's just allowed. Everything is allowed there. Like you get to see the real you, I think. It's because it's just all allowed. All of it. And it's not looked at like, oh, here she goes again. She's crying about that. You know what I mean? When you're having those family discussions that could come up like that. But when you're there in Wananga, it's not like that. It's like everybody's really listening and feeling it, and they're ready for you to shift that too. It's not like you get judged because you've brought it up, or, you know, I feel like it always is the most beautiful place to let go of all that stuff.
Is there anything else on your heart to share?
My biggest one is probably just don't be scared of yourself, because that's all it comes down to. Like stepping into just receiving or doing the mahi, like if you're meant to be there, it'll all align, and don't be scared of yourself. Are you scared of yourself? Because I know I was, because we just didn't want to relive anything. So for me, it was, I'm not scared of her or them anymore. Just don't be scared of stepping in to heal, because you'll work out that you're actually way stronger back then doing it without this work. Because it's lonely when you're trying to do life and not heal. And it's hectic. That's heavy. Where I feel like this type of work, you go away lighter, you shift stuff that doesn't need to be there anymore. And yeah, just not be scared, because it's not scary. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For my part and my side, it's been such a pleasure to witness you and to be in interaction as you've completed your training, and I hope that continues for so much longer. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, celebrating you so much.
Thank you for having me in your space. Like, you made it easy to learn, definitely. Everybody that's on your team, like all the sisters and the brother, yeah, you've got a good team, and it makes that part a lot easier. Like, there's definitely no judgment. And it's, you know, you already feel like you're a judged person just for trying to step in to do something different. So going to places like that and not feeling judged, or you just get seen and heard, is what I found was definitely what your course gave us. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks,
sir. You're welcome. Love you.
Do you want an opportunity to share your socials or anything like that? Where do people find you if they feel that ping?
I am on Instagram and Facebook. It's Wairua, It's a Journey. And I think the Facebook one is Beck Smith, but I think they still link out. And I'm on TikTok. That's got my whole journey right from the start to, that's the rawest me you'll find. And that's Bex the Hoary. So, yeah, that's the raw me over there. So, yeah, I'm open to all questions. I welcome it. No question's a dumb question, I say. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I
love that. Awesome. And I'll share that for anyone who wants to reach out. You're based in Tauranga?
Yeah, Papamoa.
Papamoa. Beautiful. Thank you.
Say hi to Benny Fink.